Hi, and welcome to Carry the Two, the podcast that pulls back the curtain to reveal the mathematics and statistics behind, well, everything. Normally, my co-host Ian Martin would interject here with a witty retort, but we wanted to give him a break. So, for this special interview with Cubs pitcher and University of Chicago math student Wilson Cunningham, we brought in an expert. Joining me to interview Wilson about math and baseball is sports reporter John Zagluel. So without further ado, let's get to the interview.
I'm Wilson Cunningham. I'm a second year at the college. I'm majoring in CAM, so Computational Applied Mathematics. Something very new to me, but very interesting. I'm excited to see where it takes me. And I also play baseball, and I play a lot of baseball. So I kind of have a weird contract going, a unique deal that I have. So going into my first year at UChicago, I was drafted by the Cubs. And usually people drafted out of high school, you're really given like an ultimatum. So either you sign with the team and you don't go to school at all, you know, it's your full-time job, or you don't sign, so you don't play with the team and you go on and do whatever you're going to do at school. You keep playing at the college you're going to, whatnot, whatever. So going into the draft, they were aware that I really valued going to UChicago. That was my plan. That's something I really didn't want to miss out on. So they offered me the wonderful deal of, how about you do both? So I go to UChicago full time. And while I'm there, I'm on throwing programs, lifting programs, you know, nutrition, everything that the coaches and staff prescribes me. And when I'm not at school, spring break, summer, you know, part of Christmas break, I'm over here in Arizona or wherever they want me to be playing.
That's an awesome deal, man. How did you swing that?
A lot of luck, really. it's definitely a dream come true to me. It's absolutely the best of both worlds. I'm just super happy the way things unfolded.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's so cool that you get to still have that kind of classic college experience, even if you're probably on a much better nutrition plan than any freshman you will ever meet on any college.
Absolutely.
So what made you interested in doing computational and applied math as your major?
Well, I've always been pretty drawn to math, you know, for as long as I can remember. You know, kindergarten, first grade, I remember enjoying math in school, which is, I don't know, sometimes a rarity, sometimes not. But, you know, amongst other things, I've been pretty interested in a lot of subjects, a lot of hobbies and interests. I love to play the piano. I obviously love sports, you know, so a whole bunch of things. But math was always the one thing. I'm like, yeah, I really love math. And the beautiful thing about it is that, you know, among all my other interests, maybe just because math is, you know, kind of number one in my mind, but I see math everywhere. You know, math is in art, math is in music, math is in baseball, a lot of data, you know, in lifting and pitching, there's a lot of science to it. And so going into school, I said, okay, you know, I want to stick with math, but I don't really know, you know, baseball aside, I don't really know what I want to do with my future. I'm interested in a lot of things, but I love math. That's my number one. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll do something with math, but I don't really want to maybe pigeonhole myself somewhere. So I saw CAM as something that's a little more practical. You know, there's a little more stats classes, a little more CS, this and that, some econometrics maybe down the road, you know, things that can kind of branch me out a little bit. You know, and I know that, you know, any type of math I do, you know, I could go into any field really. I've heard that, you know, people like math, the thinkers that come out of math majors. So yeah, CAM spoke to me. It seems pretty cool, pretty practical, and I'm excited to see where it takes me.
Yeah, it's a good way to say like, okay, well, I'm interested in this field. Now, where can I actually apply it besides just, right, you know, algebra 2 or something? Right. So were you always good at math, or did you like struggle?
I'd say that math always came decently easy to me, but not, you know, math is hard. even if, you know, some people grasp it a little more than others, this and that. I think the real thing is that I've just been interested in it. So, you know, when I see a problem that's harder than others, I can sit there and, you know, I enjoy sitting there and staring at it for you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes, hours at a time. And you know, when I'm walking to classes, you know, it's in the back of my mind, oh, how am I going to do that? So I think that's kind of, I attribute that to some of my success in math. But since coming to school here, oh man, it's gotten a lot harder. it's definitely a challenge, but it's very, very rewarding.
So do you think very much about, or think often about how math and baseball are so related to each other? Or I guess it's more statistics than math, maybe, technically?
Well, yeah, you're probably right, more statistics. But it definitely plays a big role. I mean, in the lifting side of things, you know, our strength and conditioning coaches here, they're on the computers coding in R, doing all these programs about, you know, we input the weight we do every day and this and that and blah, blah, and our weight. And they have these ways of measuring our strength and our power throughout the week, throughout the month. And so they compile all that data and see where you're at, see how you've improved and everything. I mean, just the other day I went in and I said, oh, hey, John, just curious, how are my jumps looking from a year ago? And so it pulls up all the data. Oh, your jumps were this, your hamstring strength was this, blah, blah, blah. And so they have it all there. And on the pitching side of things, I mean, just, you know, recently in the past couple of years, with the advent of cheaper high-speed cameras that are available to a lot of people and technology to measure spin rate and velocity down to a T, they're also, you know, every time I throw a bullpen, every time we have a pitching lab here, you know, all of that data is compiled as well to really see my progress and to fine tune, you know, they call it pitch design. So they see my fastball. When I came in, my fastball had a lot of run to the side. So I throw it and it would curve to the left, curve away from a righty batter, and it would sink a little bit. And they say, okay, we want your fastball to have more carry. So that means, you know, it's a truer fastball. It's straight and it has a more true backspin so that it has that rising effect. So with the high-speed cameras, with the machinery they have to see everything, see the spin and everything, you know, they're able to fine-tune, okay, you need to rotate the ball this much in your hand and do this and think, throw it off your middle finger instead of your pointer finger. And they're able to fine-tune things to get that outcome.
Do you get a lot of instantaneous feedback?
Typically, it'll be, you know, I'll throw, you know, 30 pitches in a side session, you know, they call it bullpen. And then maybe the next day or afterward, they'll come back and say, oh, this is what you need to work on. I mean, they do have the ability, you know, I throw a pitch and 1 second later, they can look on the iPad and say, you had 7 inches of horizontal break and you had 12 inches of vertical break. We want you to be at 6 and 14, you know, something like that. Try to do this next time. And so it can be instantaneous, which is fascinating. It's amazing.
That's incredible how much technology has changed the game. Not that like baseball has historically been all about the stats and recognizing, you know, individual unique player stats and how they are going to match up on a team. But now even more so, we have such richer data sets to work with. You can really get that kind of fine grain information.
Is baseball becoming a little bit too technology based though, Wilson? Do you think there's still a part of it that has to do with the human element that there's a value for in the game today?
Yeah, there definitely needs to be a balance. You know, with the whole Moneyball era and right. Sabermetrics, there definitely is a ton of merit to the fact that you compile data and see, okay, this guy has better stats than this guy, this and that. There's so many other factors, you know, the way, what type of coaching style works best with the player? How are they going to react to adversity? You know, how are they going to get along with their teammates? Are they going to get into trouble outside of games and everything? So there's so many other things that require a little human feel and less computer knowledge. So absolutely, there needs to be a balance.
What about mechanically speaking too? How analytics changed the way you throw a baseball motion-wise and windup wise?
So actually recently I've made a lot of changes, beneficial changes to my mechanics, which actually started in high school where I started making big, big changes. And the way that actually my pitching coach at the time, he and I were able to see what I needed to change is, you know, obviously with the human eye, you can see certain things. You can, if you've been coaching forever, if you've played baseball forever, you can see someone throw a ball and say, oh, that's not quite right. But when he gets it on a slow motion camera and he can really see, okay, hey, your hips are opening just too early and you're getting just not enough external rotation on your shoulder, you're able to see more. So actually what I did in high school with my pitching coach is we did a, he calls it a bio test. And so sets up a slow motion camera, gets it all zeroed and scaled. And I just throw some pitches. And then, you know, he sends it off to a really smart guy somewhere on a computer who looks at it. And, you know, it gives you a little skeleton. And so it takes everything away and you see my skeleton. And there you can see, okay, you know, your front hip has this much external or internal rotation. Your knee flexion is this much, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it shows the timing and the velocity of each of your levers. And so the way it works, they call it like your kinetic chain. So what was happening with me is my plant leg, my right leg. So I'm a lefty pitcher, my plant leg. I was landing and there's a little bit of external rotation in my hip. So my knee would jut out a little bit. And so it'd kind of be a little soft, a soft landing a little bit. And so what happens though, is so you land on your front foot. And then, you know, say you want a really stable front leg, and then your hips turn into that while your shoulders haven't turned yet. So your hips turn and then your shoulders turn. And all the while your arm is still back. And then finally, your arm goes. And then at the last second, your hand goes. So it's this big old sequence of movements, and the human eye can only see so much. And so this technology, you know, it helps me to say, okay, you want your front leg to be a little more stable, because when it's not stable, all that force is being dissipated elsewhere. And you're not able to put all that energy eventually into your hand speed.
It's an entire body acting as a whip just to release the ball correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
What have you done to increase your velocity? I would assume by using these programs, you found ways to go up from topping out at 85 to now 90 last time I checked, right?
Yeah. So before I made all those big changes in high school, I had a lot of mechanical issues. So the first thing I did, you know, was I fixed that front leg a little bit, made it a little more stable.
Right.
And part of all of this is that I just need to be stronger. To have a more stable front leg, you got to have a stronger leg. So, you know, in the past year, I've gained, you know, when I got to the complex after the draft, I was coming off of an injury. So, you know, maybe I was a little down in weight, but I was around 180, 185. And now I'm around 210, 215. So I've put on a lot of weight, which definitely is extremely beneficial. I think my growth height-wise is shrinking a little bit. So my body's maturing. I'm able to put on a little more mass and get a lot stronger, which I have. So that's been a huge contributor. But back to the mechanics. Yeah. So the front leg, you know, that was a big fix, as well as my arm action. So what was happening is that, like I said, at the end of your throw, your arm's supposed to stay back. And you get this, they call it layback in your arm. So your arm, your shoulder externally rotates and whips through. What was happening is I wasn't letting that happen. I wasn't letting my arm just kind of track along for the ride and be loosey-goosey and whip through. Instead, I was tensing it up and I was letting my elbow track in front of my shoulder, and I was kind of pushing the ball, not getting that whip. And so with that fix, oh my gosh, that was the biggest fix. I mean, I went up, I couldn't tell you, you know, the exact numbers, but I went up a few miles an hour just from that fix, which took, I mean, I had the muscle memory from years and years of throwing that way ingrained in my body. You know, so it took some persistence, some little funny drills that my pitching coach conjured up, but it worked a lot. And so, yeah, those things have really helped.
Is it ever discouraging to you? I mean, you're not a robot, and coach is telling you, hey, you know, you're a couple of inches off here, you're a couple of inches off there. Is it ever discouraging to hear them say that? I mean, take all this time to try and make an improvement, because you're not a robot, you're human, and you're trying to learn this at your pace. Does the technology that come with it, or that comes with it, you know, discourage you a bit?
I mean, some of the information, all of the information that is available to us, it can be too much.
Yeah.
And if I'm playing catch, if I'm pitching, doing anything, and I'm thinking about, okay, I need this amount of external rotation on my hip, and I need this amount of layback, and I need to wait just this much time, and my hand speed's a little slow, so I got to think, you know, let the ball roll out of my fingers better, you know, whatever it is. So I'm thinking all those things, which is actually a big problem I used to have. You're going to freeze up, like paralysis by analysis. You're going to be trying
just
to throw.
Say that.
Right. You're going to be trying to throw. You're facing a batter, but you forget the batter's there because you're thinking about eight different things. So, you know, one thing I had to do, this was a big fix I had to make. You know, baseball is hugely, hugely mental, especially pitching. And so you got to focus on one or two things at a time.
What's your best pitch?
I'd say my fastball. I've changed it a lot recently. Like I said, you know, I kind of used to throw sinkers and now it's a more true fastball. But I found, you know, even here in the innings I've pitched here in ACL, as well as live at bats, I've pitched against, you know, other people in the Cubs organization. It gets a lot of whiffs. So a lot of swings and misses. I don't know what it is about it specifically, but it works. So I like it.
If you're getting a lot out of the important research shared on our show, there's another University of Chicago Podcast Network show that you should check out. It's called Big Brains. Big Brains brings you the engaging stories behind the pioneering research and pivotal breakthroughs reshaping our world. Change how you see the world through research and keep up with the latest academic thinking with Big Brains, part of the award-winning University of Chicago Podcast Network.
Do you see yourself going down that path? Maybe would that be an easier way for you to be called up eventually to be a left-handed specialist at the major league level? Or are you more interested in starting pitching?
I am projected to be a starter. That's the plan. But who knows what will happen between now and then. You know, I'd love to be a starter, but whatever works, whatever gets me there, I'm open to.
Well, I did want to ask, so you spent some time playing with other folks like in the Cubs program. Are there other like math and stats nerds? Like, are you guys comparing numbers over lunch? Like, how does that work?
I'd say that mostly everyone, I mean, especially the pitchers, are pretty pretty into the fine tuning of pitching. And what comes with that is you have to have some understanding of physics and biomechanics, you know, whatever comes with it. So, you know, we'll be having conversations at lunch and it's just complete baseball jargon. And it's funny that you asked that because, you know, people have asked me that before and they say, oh, like you always talk about all these fine tuning things and this pitch design, blah, blah, blah. Like, are other people like that too? And, oh, absolutely. I mean, everyone is.
It's like the opposite of the like big dumb jock. You're like, no, we're all trying to figure out the biophysics to
absolutely
pull off these things.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did you get into baseball from the beginning?
Well, I've played since I was 4 or 5 years old, you know, whenever T-ball started, and, you know, I fell in love with it. I loved it as a kid, you know. So I played in Little League until I was about 9 or 10 years old and moved on to travel ball, wanted something a little more competitive. And then up through middle school, though, I was growing a lot. You know, for reference, I'm 6'8" now, and in 7th, 8th grade, I was probably 5'6". I was growing like a weed, and with that, I was getting hurt all the time, and this and that, and I was playing for a pretty competitive team, and for a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, I felt like I didn't have too much free time, blah, blah, blah. So I started to get a little burnt out, you know, a combination of all those things. So actually, my freshman and my sophomore year of high school, I didn't even play baseball. I ran track, I played volleyball, played golf, tried a whole bunch of things. And through that, I realized, I was like, dang, I actually really love baseball. And just the fact that I kept getting hurt and all these other factors that were going on made me think I didn't like the sport, but I love it. I miss it. And so junior year, I knew a bunch of people on the baseball team. I remember sitting in Spanish class with Colin and Luke on the baseball team. And they were telling me, like, man, you got to just try out, join the team, see how it goes. Like, what's going to hurt? I'm like, okay, you know, why not? So went and saw my old pitching coach, kind of got into the groove again. And you know, the rest is history. I'm very glad I came back to it.
Well, what I find interesting too is that you were gone for 2 years. You come back and you kind of didn't miss a beat. I read an article about you. You were still throwing mid-80s coming back after 2 years. That's kind of unprecedented. You don't hear about that too much.
Well, there definitely was a learning curve. My junior year, you know, as well as my senior year, I didn't get too much playing time. I went to a pretty competitive baseball high school, and you know, a product of that is I got tons of exposure, and that's how I saw so many scouts. But yeah, there definitely was a learning curve. There were a lot of kinks in my mechanics, and a lot of, you know, competitive hours that I missed out on that I had to bounce back from. But yeah, somehow, you know, within a handful of months, you know, a year, this, that, I was, you know, topping out in high school at 88, 87, you know, sitting mid 80s. And then since then, you know, I've made a lot of progress. Now I'm sitting, you know, when I'm pitching, I'm sitting 89, 90, and I hit 91. So I've got, you know, they say I have a high ceiling. You know, right now, you know, I look at my mechanics and I say, okay, I could get into my legs a lot more. I'm also still a pretty lanky guy. I could put on 10, 20, 30 pounds. So there's a high ceiling. I feel like there's a lot of progress I can still make.
I appreciate that you're like, I want to put on the additional weight in college. And it's like, not what most students think about. Like, yeah, yes, yeah. I added 15 pounds. It's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. The freshman 30 for me.
Well, I wanted to ask a few questions going back to your experience at UChicago. So I know you're a CAM student, computational and applied math, but I mean, you're already balancing time between classes and training and weightlifting and games. So like, how are you managing all of this time? Do you just never sleep? Like, how does that happen?
I actually sleep a lot. In high school, I didn't sleep. I'll be honest. I did not sleep. And I'd wake up at 5:15 in the morning and lift at 6 in Costa Mesa, which is 20 minutes away, and this and that. And I don't think I got too much out of it because I wasn't sleeping. So I got to school and I was like, man, like, I really need to sleep more. This is a huge priority of mine. So yeah, it has been a huge priority. So there are times, you know, I got to really hunker down and get my work done. I got to get my throwing in, I got to get my lifting in, this and that, so I can get enough sleep. And so, I mean, with any sort of time management, you know, especially for UChicago students, all of us, we have to sacrifice something, you know, so maybe some social life here and there, and, you know, whatever it be, you know, I gotta find a way to balance it all. But I think, you know, my first quarter, it was tough adjusting. When they say that UChicago is a hard school, you know, it's no joke. It's legit. So, you know, I'm taking my classes and I'm doing all the baseball stuff. And at that point I hadn't even been throwing, you know, I was shut down. And so I was pretty overwhelmed. Just, wow, this is so hard. This is a lot of stuff. And finally, second quarter, third quarter, I kind of started to figure things out, okay, when I'm doing my homework, I really shouldn't have my phone right next to me. I shouldn't do it, you know, with all these friends and blah, blah, blah. I'm not being efficient. So, you know, I found little things here and there, be a little more efficient, get all the stuff in so I can still sleep.
Yeah. Sleep, practice, learn all the basics, try to socialize at some point.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you really wanted to go to UChicago. Why UChicago in specific?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I have a lot of interests, a lot of academic interests. You know, I know I love math, but I also love history. I also love physics and biology and even English. And so there are a lot of things that I was into, but I didn't want to pick just one. I didn't want to have to go down one specific planned route. And so UChicago, they have the core curriculum. They have all these crazy cool classes. And with the quarter system, you can take a bajillion classes by the time you're done. And so the whole format of things they have here, and it was something that seemed to really fit me. So that's what drew me to it.
How cool is it too to see UChicago and the Cubs kind of collaborate in your situation and come together and allow you to pursue two separate interests at the same time?
Oh yeah, it's wonderful, and I'm nothing but grateful for everyone involved. You know, the Cubs letting me do this, and UChicago letting me, you know, use their facilities and learn all the things I'm learning and this and that. It's definitely a big operation,
So I got to ask, when you're done with your degree, after you graduate, are you thinking academics? Are you thinking professional baseball? Are you thinking all of them, it sounds like?
Well, the plan is as of right now, is I will finish 4 years here and keep the same schedule as I go, you know, summer, spring break, Christmas break. I'm here in Arizona or wherever they want me to be. And while I'm at school, I still keep up with all this stuff. And then after the 4 years, the plan is right now is full-time baseball for however long it is to, you know, see where I go, see where it takes me. Obviously the end goal is go to the MLB, but you know, if I get some devastating injury, if after many, many years, you know, nothing seems to work out, I'm not getting anywhere, you know, I still have this wonderful education in my back pocket.
Who's the one player in Major League Baseball you really want to face?
Well, I grew up an Angels fan. So Mike Trout.
Okay.
Mike Trout. He's a
fair answer. Do you think you'd strike him out, or are you a little bit nervous? I mean, it's Mike Trout. He's one of the best players on the planet.
I don't know. He doesn't see a lot of 6'8 lefties. Maybe I could do something with that, but hoping I strike him out.
And I'm looking forward personally as a baseball guy and as a sports guy to watching your career develop, and hopefully we'll see you one day on the Cubs or on another major league team down the road.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited to see, you know, where this takes me, and you know, if I keep up the hard work where I can take myself. But yeah, I'm really excited for the future.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Carry the Two, and this has been great.
Well, thank you for having me. Thanks for hosting me. I appreciate all the questions.
As always, don't forget to check out our show notes in the podcast description for more about Wilson's experience with the Cubs and links to John's other reporting projects. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to Carry the Two and give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. You can check us out online at our homepage, mc.institute. We're also on Twitter at mc_institute, as well as Instagram at mc.institute. As always, thanks to our audio engineer, Tyler Dammy, for his production on the show. And music is from Blue Dot Sessions. Lastly, Carry the Two is made possible by the Institute for Mathematical and Statistical Innovation, located on the gorgeous campus of the University of Chicago. We're supported by the National Science Foundation and the University of Chicago.